Welcome to another episode of Sex, Politics, and Bacon. I'm your host, Abby Green. On this hostful episode, we learn more about Duncan, cool down with some ice cream making, we learn about Rusty's preferred method of transport, the trunk of a minivan, and artist Salvador Dali's questionable courting methods. All this and more on Sex, Politics, and Bacon. How are we doing? It's not a trick question.
Well, I can tell you what day it is. It is Wednesday, my dude.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
I don't know what the password is, and how come?
Let's talk about this child group thing.
Okay, so artist, kid family friendly, kid friendly, positive vibes, uplifting friendly artist that has been around for way longer than I've just known about. And Secret Agent 23 Skidoo. I'm also finding it really distracting that you're eating while we're recording a podcast. I need like a little towel. I'm going to hang over the Abby side of the screen on Teams. And just look at Kim. There we go. Perfect. Okay. Secret Agent 23 Skidoo. Positive. You know, hip hop. I get a wicked Jurassic 5 vibe from him, but it's not the guy from the lead singer. This is not the lead singer. That features his own daughter in instances. And usually I'm like, kids are not great necessarily, or actually certain kids' music is not great. It's more like tone deaf, like a group of 10 tone deaf kids yell singing ABCs. Not my kind of kids movie or kids music, but this one's great. It's got, okay. So it's like, be yourself all the time. Those who mind don't matter. Those who matter don't mind. If you're strange, that's just fine. Those who mind don't matter. Those who matter don't mind. Acting fake, it's a waste of time. And it's just really cute. Lots of positive. That's just one positive song. There's just so many other ones. So, and I find it highly tolerable. Like, you can listen to that.
I watched on your own. Her and her child have a dance party. Mm-hmm. To this album. Like, he was getting down, she was getting down.
Mostly hip-hop, but they got some like reggae and like type of stuff too.
The Hold My Hand one almost it felt like bordering on, and I don't say gospel, but like that,
yeah,
kind of,
there's
like,
definitely, yeah, gospel, it R&B good. It's mm-hmm. all that really good stuff. Then
can
there's
you find
like,
it on Spotify?
I don't know. I would hope so. I got,
like, is it
albums.
Like famous?
I got it off of, bought the album off of iTunes store. I'm not even sure. I think what ended up happening is it came up on like Pandora. I do like indie children station sometimes. And so I think he might have come up, they might have come up, because there's several of them. I think it's a trio mostly.
So I'm sure it'll be on Spotify.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like I've listened to it with no kid in the car, because I'm like, it really just it makes you feel good. There's this one about and it all rhymes. I don't know, and he uses way too big words that most children's artists don't bother with. So it's pretty cool. He's talking about clouds and how they go to this school to learn how to make cool shapes, and that once a year there's a cloud shaping competition where the award is to get to sit next to the moon eclipse in.
Mm.
And
cool.
So the song keeps going, then all of a sudden it's like, wow, that sounds like this loud beeping. That plane sounds like a beeping alarm clock. As the story goes on, it's like he wakes up and he's like, whoa, what a weird dream about that cloud. I wonder what happened. And 5 more minutes, man. I got to go back to sleep. And then he goes back to sleep and then acknowledges, wow, I'm back in the same dream, man. That never happens. I'm like, that that really cracked me up. I don't know. I recommend. It's kid-oriented, aimed at, but
tolerable for grown-ups.
Somebody who's listened to Wu-Tang Clan and, I don't know, like Fish. Everything. I like everything, so I guess maybe I'm not the best judge on it, but I recommend.
I'm going to look that up. I'm going to totally look that up.
Great, great stuff.
You're the one who introduced me to VeggieTales.
VeggieTales. So that's only because of that dumb toy. That, have you seen my hairbrush?
Me to M&M. Have you seen my hairbrush?
VeggieTales Bible related?
Yes, it's religious, so I
that's
feel like
I thought. Had like a veggie that was funny.
It was a cucumber that talked.
It said, have you seen my hairbrush?
Yeah. And like, whoa.
There you go. Hi, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
I got a scaly arm.
I really don't want to talk about that. Too bad for you, Becca isn't here because she might want to talk about that, but I do not want to talk about a scaly arm.
You sure? I'll send you like pictures and stuff.
I will gladly send you a bucket of puke from what comes out of my body when I look at said pictures.
I mean, that'd be kind of worth it. It'd smell horrible, but it'd make me laugh.
Did I ever tell you that about Salvador Dali?
No.
You know, the painter or the artist?
Yeah, I'm aware of who he is. I just don't know.
Yeah, so he was like way into poop. And he sent this woman that he was courting, in order to initiate courting, he sent her a bag of his poop. And
they say romance is dead.
Exactly. And, you know, I had a friend try to justify it. Not justify, but he said, you know, in studying it, like, he was trying to show, like, this is the worst of me. You know, this is the sludge and the whatever, but still, it's kind of odd.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can interpret an artistic meaning from that, but, like, it you're into poop, corpusphagia, or, you know, scatophilia, but it seems still gross. Sorry. It makes you sick, and it smells bad.
Have you ever... Google Salvador Dali's picture right now, just so you can see what he looks like.
I don't have to. I already know. He's got
you
crazy
do? Okay. I know. So imagine getting that guy's poop in a box.
So hot and sexy.
So then, you know, the like, whatever, famous Italian museum people are like, hey, we want to have a Salvadori museum. He's like, cool, I want to make it out of poop. And they're like, Salvatore, like, no. We draw the line. We're not going to get a poop. He's like, okay, hear me out, okay? We'll make a building out of normal stuff, and then we'll smear poop all over it. And the museum people are like, why do we deal with artists?
Yeah.
And eventually, if you'd like to Google what his museum eventually looked like, it's these big, like, round balls, and they're supposed to be poops. There's it could just be a poop emoji in modern days.
He would love the poop emoji so much.
He would love a poop emoji. He would be sending them to Air One.
I mean, I'd rather the poop emoji than the bag of shit.
That's fair.
I'm just gonna say, like, at least I don't have to smell an emoji.
It's totally fair.
Which, I mean, you know, I'm not going to kink shame anyone because there's definitely people into shit play. Again, I find it unsanitary because it is and it can be dangerous because, you know, bacteria. But if you're two consenting adults, you know, have at it.
Oh, yeah.
Your home must be kind of stinky. I'm sorry.
I mean, dude, your house could be stinky anyway, especially if you have kids. Am I wrong?
Not a bit. And poop may still be involved in that situation.
Poop is 100% involved in any situation involving kids or animals. Oh boy, so also about food yesterday. In the summers, as Becca knows, I regularly make my own ice cream. So far this year, Kim and I made mint chocolate chip. For Father's Day for my husband, per request, I made chocolate, deep, deep, deep chocolate, which I was able to share with a couple of fathers, all whom approved. And yesterday, I concocted my first mix in and drizzle in. Before, it had all just been whatever flavor I made was the flavors, right? This time, I made a would-be peanut butter nut ice cream. I used hazelnuts. So there's hazelnuts ground real fine in with the ice cream. Then I made a syrup out of blueberries and strawberries and sugar, and that's it. You just heat them up and it just turns into a syrup. And then I had to put it through a sieve, you know, to get all the seeds out. And so drizzled that. And then some crushed up hazelnuts, a little more drizzle, a little more ice cream. So you just sort of layer it so that there's, you know, parts equally all throughout. And it's absolutely phenomenally delicious. I was going to call it my peanut butter and jelly, but that's not what it tastes like. I don't know how to explain it, but it's absolutely amazing. And what's amazing. Nut and berries. There you go. And what's amazing about it is how much more volume it actually created of ice cream with those mix-ins.
Yeah.
Even though there's just a little bit. When you make ice cream yourself, unless you have an industrial ice cream maker, I mean, you're making one pint, which is a lot of ice cream, but doesn't always feel like it for the work involved. And sometimes when I've been like, oh, I have people over here, have some ice cream. They're like, that's all you have. And this time I was able to put it in a baking dish, a glass baking dish, and just smear it all over, make it all pretty swirls. And it feels like a more significant amount of ice cream. And
picture of it?
I can. Yeah.
These are the things. So we got to start taking pictures because that'll be the stuff that goes on the.
So much. Anyway, yes. Yes. I will absolutely take pictures of it. This ice cream is just so dang good. And I love knowing exactly what's going in my body. And I am obsessed with hazelnuts. And this has been, I bought a gigantic bag of hazelnuts off of the internet. I've been trying to find ways to use them. So this was that. And I'm very excited about that. And I think the next thing I'm going to try is Magic Shell. Do you remember what that is? It's like chocolate sauce, but it hardens. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can make that yourself. And we have all the ingredients. So I'm just going to give it a try and play with that.
What is the part that makes it hard? Is that just wax?
It's corn syrup.
Corn syrup.
Was that it? It's something like that. I can check if you hold on one sec.
Because when I make peanut butter balls, you have to mix the chocolate with wax.
Yeah, I always hated that.
I don't feel like you can taste it in the chocolate, per se.
Just knowing it creeped me out. But I was, this was a long time ago. Let's see. Coconut oil. It's 12 ounces bittersweet chocolate chopped and 1/3 cup coconut oil. Because when it's cold, coconut oil hardens. So that makes total sense.
Right. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Because I always saw that's
so much better. I'm like, don't buy that stuff. It's got to be Nestle. Fuck right. Nestle.
Yeah. And my mom would always say, oh, we're not going to buy that stuff except on special occasions because it's all chemicals. And I looked at this and I was like, this ain't all chemicals. I have no problem with Henry having some coconut oil and some bittersweet chocolate.
Right.
So yeah, I'm going to try that next. And put it on our ice creams, among other things.
Have you tried lavender yet?
I have not. But my neighbor got a whole bunch of bitters that are different kinds. Lavender bitters, cardamom bitters. You know, normally they're used in a drink, but she's been putting them in like soda water and just different things to try the flavors and see how to use them. And I think those might actually work. And she said she does understand the feeling if you use lavender too strongly and you're not used to it, it tastes like soap. And so we're talking about these bitters. And then I realize they're all CBD bitters too. So we could try some kind of lavender ice cream and it would be have CBD stuff inside of it. I don't know. The challenge is the friend I want to do this with, she's vegan. So I think working with that, I wouldn't want to borrow something and make something she couldn't eat. So I need to start experimenting with vegan ice creams. I've done many sorbets, which are always vegan, but want to try something, you know, with a coconut milk or something like that.
Mm.
Now, Becca is on Anchor and Kim is on Teams. So you guys just can't sit together, okay?
I just joined the last link that you sent.
Well, Kim is here. No, you're on the right Anchor, but you have to also be on Teams to see us.
What do you mean Teams?
Remember the Microsoft Teams thing so we can see each other? You don't have to if you don't see my beautiful face or anything. I mean, you know, if you think I'm ugly. Hi, camera.
Womp, womp, womp.
Womp, 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 womp.
Hello.
Hello.
Hola.
Kim, I can't hear you. Kim, I see you, but I can't hear you. Did you move your app onto something else? Oh, she's making the eyes.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, now we can hear y'all. Yes, Kimmy.
Okay. Hello, guys.
Hi, friends. How are we tonight?
Peachy keen. You know. How are you?
Oh, I am well. Schmecky, how are you?
I'm fighting technology to get into this Teams.
Okay, well, let's talk about this. You will fight technology, that we know. Would you fight a bear for this podcast?
Nope.
Okay, would you fight a squirrel?
Squirrels are mean.
Yeah, I'm not fighting animals, man.
What about...
I had a 365-day survival calendar, one-a-day survival tip.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yep. So...
what have you learned?
Oh, like, you encounter a mountain lion, you want to, like, look big and stand your ground and, like, open your coat. Like, don't run away from them, man.
How about a bear? Is that like the same type deal?
That's a different, depending on the bear. Mm. Black bears.
Yeah, black bears, be big, be loud, like not aggressive, but just like la 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 la. They always say,
well, that's
like,
before
sing,
like you sing see Mary. Them.
Even if you see them for black bears, not brown bears, but black bears, like you see them and they're like dogs. Like don't be aggressive, especially if you're near there.
I backed away from one on our campsite and got in my car.
Am I getting them confused? Whatever. The ones up in the Adirondacks is the ones I'm talking about. And yeah, you just have to make noise. Like you say, Mary had a little lamb, you know. Yeah, you back away. But you're like, la la la, I'm not aggressive, eyes down. But they have no interest in you. Like they don't, they're not interested.
I hope I never have to encounter a bear. But it's good to know what to do just in case.
It is. I've encountered some bears in my day.
I have
okay.
not.
Okay.
Yep. Also, well, there was a restaurant in North Conway that was like a buffet. That was my husband's family's like, let's go to North Conway. And then we all go to this restaurant. But like part of the draw was that bears would eat out of the trash can.
Oh, so it was like entertainment.
Yeah,
and buffet.
Like you couldn't see it from inside the restaurant because it, I feel like it was like of 80s design where they like just covered up all the windows to maximize cigarette smoke. So like, they'd have like you know a pot roast and a ham and like a soup and it you know it was okay but it wasn't great but yeah, dumpster bears.
Up in the Adirondacks, which is like. Kind of where Vermont hits New York State and then way, way up, there's this huge expanse of amazing mountains. And yeah, they have a lot of bears up there. And for the most part, the bears completely keep to themselves and are no problem. But for a long time in the 80s, when I was growing up, the thing we would do is go to the dump. They would leave the dump completely open. the bears would come and just climb on dump, and you would just bring your car and like sit there and watch the bear. So dumb. So many dumb on so many levels. And I'll tell you why. Because other people are dumb. Now, we did it totally safely. And that was what we do. We just go and sit there and watch the bears. It was super fun to do as a 6-year-old. Well, of course, some stupid mom said, honey, go take a picture with the bear, and handed him a candy bar and told Junior to go climb up the garbage and hand food to a freaking wild bear.
Wow.
Yeah. So then that was the end of that. And then they closed it. And then there was no more of that. And we realized we probably should have never done it. Not because we weren't safe, but because idiots will never be safe.
It's just one person that has to ruin it for everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the same with moose, too. People come up and are like, well, let's take pictures of the moose. And it's like, nope, keep just no.
It's 2,000 pounds. Just don't.
Yep.
Moose are huge.
They're huge.
I mean, that's fair. And adoption is a wonderful thing. Like, a little personal thing about me is that I gave my first son up for adoption when I lived in Virginia. It was just the best decision at the time. Me and the mother were not, you know, in a particularly committed relationship, and we were both very young. So we decided on that as the best course of action. It's something that I've never regretted, and still to this day feel like it was the best decision I could have made. Because he has lived a wonderful life. I see him online every now and then. I don't interact. And that's mostly just by choice to keep things more simple. Like, they know that if he decides to ask questions and stuff like that, he can contact me. They have my information. But I'm not going to cause trouble in their life.
Can we just go on this topic? This is fascinating to me.
Well, I mean, it wasn't an easy decision by any means. It was very difficult, but me and the mother, we haven't talked in years, and I have no idea where she is or what name she's going at this point. But safe to say, we were young kids who got a little carried away, and she got pregnant. And
what's the backstory?
We had not known each other that long at all, and definitely weren't dating. We were friends, and, you know, friends with benefits, one of those situations. And we hung out a lot, so it was kind of a casual form of dating, but not like we had been together a while. That was a heavy factor in the decision, too, is we hadn't been through all the stages in the relationship that you would really want to know a person before you consider raising a child.
Sorry, it looks like the camera's shaking. Is that because of my fan?
Okay. No, it's because my arm is on my leg and my other leg is bouncing up and down because
I'm like very, I can't watch you. I know, I'm high maintenance, but it like makes me.
I mean, I can take my arm off my leg.
They just put it on something. You don't have to hold it. There is something there to hold a phone. I will send you a selfie stick. They are free.
It really worked out in a wonderful way, because when we started considering adoption, we got connected with their parents, I think through her parents' church or something of that manner. And they had been trying to have a baby for 8 years. And, you know, we really liked them. They were in a very stable place in their life and had just not been able to have children or, you know, to adopt because they wanted a baby. And adoption is a very difficult and long process, as it rightly should be, because in this instance, it really wasn't that super long and painful, simply because we were the ones having the child and doing the adoption. It was painful in a lot of aspects. It was not easy to give away my firstborn, and it was not easy for her. It was a very difficult thing, but we were rational about the reality of it, and that neither of us was equipped, both financially or emotionally, to deal with raising a child, and it would be a disservice to the child itself when here's this wonderful couple that have a ton of love to give and a wonderful environment to give that. And we gave him the best life that we could, which is ultimately what every parent wants to do. And as it so happens, when he was born on their wedding anniversary. So it kind of felt like fate. And it's been about 11 years. Hopefully I've got that right. And I'm not a terrible person, but it's not something I think about just terribly often. Simply because I guess in a way I've compartmentalized that experience, because I know that he is out there and he is growing and really turning into a person in and of himself, but I made my choice and I don't want to interfere. And I don't think it would be fair for me to interfere in contact. Like, when the time comes and he finds out, if that is his decision, awesome. If it's not, that's fine too.
I think, you know, from everything I know about this world, it's 100% what you do, right? You're always available. It's always, if they want to, I am happy to talk with them. And then, you know, you both navigate from there what that means. Assume he's, you know, well-adjusted and all that stuff. Like, what role would you like to play in his life, if any?
You know, that's something I haven't actually considered. And it's not that I'm like, I don't consider the subject. It's more that I'm just so open in my mind to whatever role they would really have of me, that I would be ready for whatever they threw it. At least I think so. I don't know. How do you prepare for that kind of thing? But, you know, if they wanted me to be, you know, closely involved, or at least, you know, talk and stuff, hell yeah. If they just wanted to meet me, to see me and be like, you know, tell me some stuff about where the fuck I come from, then that's great. If they never want to contact me, or he doesn't, then, you know, that's also their choice. And I would not hold it to them.
Well, here's the other thing I got to ask. I mean, the conversation went straight to adoption. You both had options prior to that.
Actually, I mean, the options were considered. We basically told her, like, if what you want to do is abortion, we'll pay for it. But if you don't, we'll also go from there. And, you know, adoption definitely was one of the first things we did consider. And there was moments where it's like, are we going to go through with it? But it became an easy decision when, A, you consider that this baby is being born regardless, and B, we can give it a great life regardless of us, which is ultimately, again,
I mean, I guess I'm asking, in the window that you could have terminated the pregnancy, was that something that you both like morally objected to or just didn't consider? Or you said you thought about adoption early. Does that mean that it was kind of not an option?
No. There was a brief period where we did talk about abortion. I mean, we discussed it, and ultimately it came down to her decision of, she was just like, I just don't think I can do it. And it's like, that's fine. There's no point after that I pushed it, but it was brought up. It wasn't like, oh, we can't do it. It was just a matter of, she did not think that was something that she could bring herself to do, and I didn't question that.
Thank you for being so honest and vulnerable. This is Cuckoo. Awesome.
Hey, that's who I am.
Well, I know my way around New England. I can tell you that much.
Put the tea on. I have stories.
How about, like, let's just go over how drunk Becca gets home, okay? So, like, I have a minivan. And if I'm not the designated driver, that falls on the other party, aka Bill. And so, like, generally there's a disagreement because, you know, alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
All of them.
Is Homer Simpson, so eloquently put. And, you know, I'd get shotgun and there'd generally be, you know, Kristen or my brother or some such
just
other
a lot of drunk bing bongs
in the back, but maybe not a full house on the way home, certainly. And like one time there was this guy that was being like, all like, oh, I'm going to like kiss you. I was like, I'm like married and stuff, like quit pushing up. And we were waiting for Bill to come out. We couldn't find Kristen. And I totally, he's like, you were kissing. And I was like, he made it look like we were kissing on purpose. And I swear to this, because otherwise I'd cop to it. I have had games of spin the bottle where there was no bottle. We were just kissing each other up in the barn. Totally cop to it. Okay. Like, I will admit it, but this total stranger was not. But Bill's like, whatever, you totally weren't. And Bill was just annoyed because he was DD, and it's a pain in the fucking ass having to track everyone
just to be clear wrangle in, like, downtown
it's Santa
Boston.
Pub crawl, yeah, it's downtown right Boston, down in Faneuil Hall
to their
area.
House without traffic, which isn't a thing. 35 minutes,
yeah, at that time of night there is no traffic. But you know, Bill, nobody wants to be the DD.
Nobody wants
to. Really,
no,
that sucks.
Yeah, that's never
it
fun.
Just really sucks. And
now
people
you
are
do
assholes.
An Uber.
People are assholes. And so he's like arguing with me, so then I'm like gonna get pouty and I can't run away because Bill's get slicks with the door locks now. Because I tried to get out. He's like, lock. And I'm like, unlock. He's like, lock. Unlock, lock. And then my brother's
lock,
in the back
lock,
seat.
Unlock, lock.
And like, the doors are electric on the new minivans, right? And so those doors aren't opening while the car is in gear. And so those are going beep, but they're not opening because my brother is in an act of solidarity. What a guy. He's like, I'm getting out of the moving car on this highway north out of Boston too. And so my poor husband, and then Kristen's like, Bill, I think I'm gonna be sick. And she throws up in a paper bag. And so all the while I can't get out of this van. Well, then I'm going back. And so I unbuckle the seatbelt and then I lift up the armrest and I like climb over the little tray in between the seats. And then Kristen and Mark are like, oh my God, she's coming back. And so they kind of lean into the windows and like give me a nice berth through. And I clamber into the back seat, and that's not fucking far enough away. I go over the back seat and tumble into the trunk, which,
into
mind
the
you,
trunk, which
is
like
further
a
away
foot.
Than it's further away than the actual floor of the van because that's where the seats fold into. So
it's like a
quite
foot
a
lower than the ground. Oh my God!
Yeah. So it's like so boom, and then I just
you're
you know,
in a
lay
dungeon.
There. And then Bill drives home to the suburbs and we live on a dead end and there's a house right across the street and our neighbor's driveway is like right there and can see everything. And then he gets home and usually it's not very late because this thing starts at like 3 and so it's not late.
Yeah.
But we're like 3 a.m. drunk. That's how drunk I am. And like Bill gets home and the side doors open and Mark and Kristen get out and like to little to no fanfare. But then Bill has to go around the car. He's got to open the trunk.
Get his old lady out of the trunk.
Get me out of the trunk. And I come out. I'm like whirling fists and elbows. And I was like running like run. Just like run into the house and go to bed.
You tackled,
like,
you
think I
something?
Like to be the man that comes home and has to get his wife out of the trunk? What do you think that makes me look like? And I'm like, yeah, dude, what does that make you look like? So anyway, yeah,
they are.
It's been a while since I've taken a trunk ride home, folks. I've really matured.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Sex, Politics, and Bacon. Please visit the pod's Patreon page at patreon.com/sexpoliticsbacon. You can follow me, Abby Green, at ThriftyGreen2020 on Insta, Facebook, and TikTok. You can find Duncan at the Monk of the Magnolias. That's at THEMONK OFTHEMAGNOLIAS on YouTube, Insta, and TikTok. Thanks for listening to Sex, Politics, and Bacon. Until next time, take care of you.
Boston? Can you say bye-bye?
Bye-bye. See you next time.